You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome to the Roto Experts. Mike Blute and George Kurtz here for the next hour. We'll take you around the world of the NFL. We're going to dive into the games in this hour. Talk to you a little bit about what we see coming up for these games. Obviously, who to start, who to sit in some instances. I'll ask some questions that I've gotten throughout the week. Have George make some decisions on those. We'll touch very briefly on the Thursday night game, which was barely a football game, George. 40-0. The two things that come out of it from a fantasy production standpoint, I guess you could say Benjamin Watson if you want, but realistically, the Ravens scored 32 points on defense, pitching a shutout and a couple of pick sixes, and you had Alex Collins with a really good night, 133 total yards, even though he didn't get in the end zone.
Well, they gave him a couple of shots, right? Usually they weren't using him in the red zone, especially inside the 10-yard line, so he had some fumble problems there. They did give him a couple of shots. Unfortunately, he didn't get in. I think that was on the one where Ben Watson ended up catching a touchdown from Mallett. So I own Collins in the league. It was good to see. Good to see he had a good game. Obviously, I would have liked to see him get in the end zone. The Baltimore defense is just hilarious because I know in a couple of leagues, Baltimore was released that week, so I just found that kind of funny that they loaded up there. And all those Matt Moore believers, maybe smoking Jay's not the problem after all.
Yeah, that offensive line is an issue. I mentioned it previously on the show. Jay Ajayi's first carry was 21 yards, his longest of the season, and then the next, the rest of the way, he got 2 yards total. So the next 12 carries is 2 yards. So obviously that offensive line is an issue and opening up holes. You didn't get much out of Jarvis Landry. You got a little bit out of Kenny Stills, but not much. Moore was pretty desperate, but both picks were brutal. And that's really all you can say. I guess it's going to be difficult to continue to sort out what the Ravens are going to do, but I think you can say somewhat definitively that Alex Collins will be the lead back and Allen will just see touches behind him. He can catch the ball a little bit better out of the backfield, but Collins actually had more catches than him the other night.
Yeah, it was strange, right? We've seen this in a couple of teams now. Tariq Cohen with Chicago, so the same thing, not being used as they were. So it makes you wonder why. It was a game plan specific that Collins was going to be a better usage than Javarius Allen than Buck Allen. So it does make you wonder here, Mike, but Allen's value definitely has gone down. I know somebody just sent me a question about a trade of trading Allen away for a lesser Derrick Henry. I mean, a lesser player. I'm not so sure you want to do something like that, but I understand the reason why.
If you own DeMarco Murray, I could see you wanting to do that just to buy in on the Titans running game and just, have that kind of set.
That was the question I asked.
Yeah, so I think that would be a way to go. I don't mind at this point, since we're halfway through the season, people kind of buying up specific running games, just aligning both Baltimore running backs or aligning both Saints running backs or aligning both Titans running backs. You know what I mean? Solid running games where you don't want to mess around with having a backup here and a starter there. You just kind of buy into the whole running game. Give yourself some insurance. I'll ask George a few questions, lineup questions after the break, and we'll get into the games. Finally, we're going to talk about a game that wasn't a 40-point blowout. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts. We're talking Week 8 after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
We're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and George taking you through Week 8 in the NFL for the next hour. But first, I want to tell you about a partnership that we have going on this season with DKMS. And DKMS is on a mission to fight blood cancer. So I'd like you to go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS or dailyroto.com/DKMS and find out a little bit more about it. You can sign up to be a bone marrow donor. You can make a donation or simply help us by spreading the word about the DKMS cause. Now, the fun part of all of this is that we have a third partner in it, and that's Fantasy Draft. And you'll find when you go to that link, rotoexperts.com/DKMS or dailyroto.com/DKMS, there'll be a link in there for a free DFS contest sponsored by DKMS and Fantasy Draft. Now, the winner of that contest each and every week, and I think last week I was in it, I think it had just shy of 1,000 participants. So it's not a massive 10,000 person, 100,000 person contest. We're trying to get as many people to sign up as possible, but your chances are obviously greater when there's less participants and it's single entry. So the winner of that free contest each week gets a ticket to the week 17 grand prize contest. And the 16 weekly winners will be in there for week 17, and the winner of the week 17 contest gets two tickets to Super Bowl 52 in Minnesota. So you're going to help us support a really good cause. You'll find out a little bit more about it. You can have fun playing this free DFS contest every week and ultimately get an opportunity to get two tickets to the Super Bowl. I've played each and every week, and I haven't won yet, but I'm pretty sure, George, that week 8 is the week that I'm going to take it down and get myself into the grand prize contest.
Well, you know what? I just set my lineup, Mike, so I'm pretty sure this week, this is not going to be your week. Sorry.
Well, look, listen, week 9 is your week. Week 8, that's me. That's just how it's
9 is my favorite number, Mike.
All right. Well, I know I've said for like the last 6 weeks that I'm going to win, but this is really the week. I mean, I was just kind of kidding with those previous 5. So this is the week that's going to happen.
I see. Just kidding.
We're entertainers. It's a radio show. I got to sort of, keep people waiting on bated breath for my lineups and stuff. Well, I'm not going to tell you my exact lineup because I don't want you to copy it. And then we tie and it's a whole thing. But in any event, that's it. Go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS.
If you tie, would you get one ticket each?
I don't know. I guess you would both get into the week 17 contest because, if you won the week, if you tied in the week 17 contest, well, George, let's hope that doesn't happen because I don't want to put anybody in that awkward position. But yeah, you'd have to go to the Super Bowl with a total stranger, I guess. In any event, we got some questions, and my friends Robin and Sean, who are listening in Tampa, have some lineup questions. Robin's team, and she's pretty great at fantasy football in general, but occasionally bounces questions off me. She had a Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott question. What do you think?
Carson Wentz or Dak Prescott? I mean, listen, I like them both. You're talking two top 5 plays tomorrow. I just don't think I could pass up the San Fran defense.
I mean,
we know, and Philadelphia has to throw the ball, right? Dallas can run. Ezekiel Elliott there, where Philadelphia can, Smallwood's not getting the job done, Clement's not doing anything, Blunt's not doing anything. They'll just throw the ball over the field here. So give me Carson Wentz over Dak Prescott. But listen, you love them both.
Agreed. So the next one was, I don't know how she got herself into this position, Jermaine Kearse or Robbie Anderson. I don't know why you're rostering both, but or Tyrell Williams, that was it. It's Tyrell Williams or one of the two Jets receivers. I think I said Jermaine Kearse through all this.
I was a big Williams supporter in August draft season, and that just has not worked out as we expected. Now Mike Williams is back. He's going to take some targets away. They are playing New England tomorrow, though. I think Tyrell Williams is a better receiver than Kearse or Anderson, but you're talking the number 3 or 4 guy on the target list versus Kearse and Anderson are the number 1 or 2, just guessing which the right one out of Kearse and Anderson. I think, boy, I really want to say Tyrell Williams here, but I think that's me going down with the ship here. I do like the matchup for the Jets tomorrow. That's screwed. I'm still saying Tyrell Williams. I'm going Tyrell Williams. I'm going down with the ship here. It's just too hard to guess Kearse or Anderson. Although if I did have to pick, I'd go Kearse.
And the Pats have given up 17, I think, what is it, 14, 17, and 7 points the last 3 weeks. I know they're a little bit banged up now, and I don't think
this week.
Yeah, I don't think the defense is totally fixed, but they've been better. So, in any event, I'll say Kearse, you say Williams, so it confuses her even more. Awesome. We'll get to the next question.
Not really, because if my second choice was Kearse, so I probably would lean towards your pick anyway. I'm just going down with the ship.
Yeah, so next one, full point PPR. Tariq Cohen or Frank Gore? This is my friend Lou in New Jersey.
you know, we discussed this earlier. They're not using Cohen like they used to. And he had that reception he had last week, the 70 yards. That was a true bomb, by the way. That wasn't Cohen catching a ball out of the flat and then running past everybody. He actually ran a bomb. He ran a post pattern and caught it. It was actually maybe the best throw of Trubisky's life to this date. So you'll have to see more of that. I can see more of them using Cohen. They don't have too many weapons here. I mean, it's Howard
Cohen. Seven
and,
times.
Yeah, it was a completed four of them. The joke last week was, that the lowest completion total ever in a win? It wasn't, by the way. I'm going Cohen because, listen, the Saints are going to score some points tomorrow. They're going to have to throw the ball. They're going to use Cohen in the flat and that sort of thing. He just has to do more damage. And Gore, the upside is so limited here. And sooner or later, Mac has to take over. And you wonder if Mac is going to take over tomorrow, because there were some rumors after last week's game that Pagano was going to get fired. He has to have heard that, too. At this point, don't you have to play Mac just to see what you have here, see if there's some kind of spark that can save your job possibly for a few more weeks? I think they have to, so I'm going Tariq Cohen.
I am too, and I think you articulated the same reasons. You can't say with certainty that Mac is the guy, but it should be, and I'd just rather have Cohen. I don't think there's any upside with Gore. Yeah, he could fall into the end zone a couple of times, but it hasn't really happened this year, so you're just guessing on touchdowns, and that's not something that we're in the business of doing. So I think you go with Cohen here and hope that they use him a little bit more. The problem is, like, they only threw the ball seven times. He's better out of the backfield. You just got to hope for some touches here in what is expected to be a higher scoring game than what the Colts implied total will be. So that's it. We'll flip over to the games now. I'm going to bounce around a little bit to these games. We'll start with Seahawks hosting the Houston Texans. I talked about the game earlier, how it could be a little bit dicey for the Texans. It seems like the coaching staff did a pretty good job of making sure the team understood that they were on their side. It puts the coaching staff in an odd position, though, because they are obviously closely tied to the owner.
Damn right.
Too. Bill O'Brien's in a really tough spot. I mean, here's the irony of all this. I'm sorry to keep talking about this, but it is fascinating. Here's the irony of all this. Every coach has got to worry about 53 guys plus 10 practice squad guys going out on a Monday night because they have Tuesday off and getting in all kinds of trouble. And the Texans are free and clear of it. They got J.J. Watt. Guy raises $37 million, and they're halfway through the season. They're trying to compete through all these injuries with the rookie quarterback, and they're doing a good job. And the owner shoots his mouth off and blows up the entire locker room. That's ironic.
But what does Herman Edwards always say? You know, think before you hit send. You know, think before you open your mouth. And it's really the truth here. I mean, why would you say anything? You don't have to. Just keep your mouth shut. If you don't know, if you're not positive that what you're saying is going to be something positive, that's going to take you in a good light, don't say anything. No comment's a beautiful thing.
He said Troy Vincent's face.
I know. It's just stupid. I mean, really just stupid. I mean, I don't get it. I understand you're a gazillionaire owner and you believe you could do anything you want and it doesn't matter. Well, you know, things do matter. Television ratings are down. You know, as you can say, it's not a big thing in the NFL because the digitals, they'll make a gazillion dollars on the next TV contract. That might be true, but the ratings are still down. Which means people are, you know, this is affecting people. It's not the same game right now. And the game on the field is not the same. You know, it's not the football we're used to. We've been criticizing this all year. It's not as crisp as football as it used to be, and there's many reasons for that as well. So, I think McNair put his coaching staff in a terrible spot. Because you got the owner on one side now, and then you got the players on the other, and they have to deal with the players every day, and they want to win. And the owner still wants you to win. And Houston's a good team, right? Coming off a bye week and a big game in Seattle, and to start this, just not the brightest thing.
Yeah. So we'll focus on the game for a minute. It's a tough spot for Watson, obviously. He's played well thus far, but going into Seattle, this may not be the week that you're hoping for if you've been riding the hot streak for Deshaun Watson.
Agreed. He might still be in your starting lineup, but assuming that you didn't draft him to be your starter, you might still have that starter you drafted on your roster. I'm probably going with that guy. I don't have Watson in my top 10 this week.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 42.5 over-under. Seattle, a six-point favorite. I think you like Russell Wilson here. He's a top six, according to Fantasy Pros consensus rankings. The running back situation, tough, really, across the board. Both teams, I think you like Doug Baldwin here. Anybody else jump out? DeAndre Hopkins gets a requisite number of targets to be productive, George?
Yeah, you have to start Hopkins, of course. It is, it's Hopkins, he's back. But, man, Richard Sherman, that's not going to be an easy matchup all year, all game long. Solo sits for me here. Not touch the Seattle running game. Lamar Miller does start.
Okay, we'll be back. We'll talk more games after this. If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Again, if you want to hit us up with a call, 844-843-6879 or on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. We're continuing down through the games of the day. Some of the controversies and off-the-field stuff. It's just, I just want to talk about the games, but it's like every game that I bring up is something else to talk about. And because we're going to talk Steelers-Lions, we talked about the Golden Tate injury earlier. That's going to be a tough one. I will look at the lineups in the next segment to make sure that you guys get a sense of what I'm deciding over, and I'm sure as many of you are deciding over as to whether or not you can start Golden Tate. The Martavis Bryant thing, George, you think he's going to get traded or not?
I mean, if you try and trade him now, I mean, his value couldn't be any lower. What the deadline's due is there.
Yep.
And he's probably not playing because they already say he's going to be deactivated. He's not playing this week. So, I mean, it's like same thing in the NFL, same thing in fantasy. You'd be trading low. You'd be selling low right now. Who's going to give you what for Bryant? A malcontent who believes he's better than what he really is. So, anyway, with the drug problem in the past, he's been suspended multiple times. I mean, come on. I don't know what he's expecting here. So, no, I don't. To answer your question, no, I don't expect him to get traded.
I do not either. He's on a very favorable contract, and he has a ton of ability. The only possibility is that the Steelers think he's beyond the point of return with this team and in this locker room. They would know better than anybody. I think they're just inactivating him to put him on ice for a week and try and get his head straight so that they can actually have a productive trio of wide receivers. So regarding this contest in particular, George, obviously, you got two offenses that can put points up. We are listed at a 3-point favorite for the Steelers, 45-point over under. Lions coming off a bye. Steelers at 5-2, trying to really kind of exert their will here in the AFC North.
Yeah, it's an interesting game, somewhat Sunday night game in Detroit. I don't want to start Tate. You know, not if I have better options on my roster. Marvin Jones will go for me here. And that may be it from Detroit. Not like in Stafford either, depending on what your other options are. Once again,
Didn't you just trade Marvin Jones this morning?
I traded a couple of days ago. There's a weird league. It's a veto. I hate veto leagues, and it takes a couple of days. That sounds familiar. I think I'm going. I think in that league, I might have acquired Joe Mixon, another guy. I am going down with the. I'm going down with the ship. It wasn't a straight trade. I forget what the deal was. It's let you know how much I've cared about this deal. It was Jones and somebody else, and Mixon and somebody else. And I don't remember the somebody else. I must have liked somebody else because this is not a deal I normally would have made. But I do kind of like Marvin Jones. But in the end, as far as that deal is concerned, it was in my mind not a deal that's going to win anybody any leagues, but a deal that
Marvin Jones and C.J. Anderson you traded away for Joe Mixon and Cooper Kupp.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like I said, not a deal that's going to win any leagues here.
You really hate C.J. Anderson. You must really hate C.J. Anderson.
Not liking what I'm seeing. Not liking what I'm seeing in Denver at all.
Nope.
You know, that offensive line's a mess. And I wrote the waiver wire column for the network earlier this week that I wouldn't be surprised if Devontae Booker gets a shot. Only because something needs to be done here. I don't think it's all Anderson's fault. Semien's been terrible. You know, they're banged up with the receivers with Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. You know, it's just, there's nothing working right now for Denver. But as far as back to the Pittsburgh game here, I got to tell you, man, it's not much I want to start on Detroit. Stafford, I could see it. You know, once again, you may have Rodgers is gone. You know, Palmer's gone. Mariota's on bye. You know, maybe you have no choice here but to start Stafford. But he hasn't. They're not throwing the ball as they used to. And Pittsburgh, we already know they're on the road. It's Bell and Brown. I want to start with Schuster. I really do. But it's on the road.
He's good.
He is good. I like the kid. But he's on the road. And he had his bike stolen this week. You know, so he's got other things on his mind.
He's the youngest player in the league. It's not surprising.
I did not know that.
He rides a bike. Yeah, he is the youngest player. I think he just turned 21. Like
did you ever have a bike stolen?
Dude, I grew up in Queens, New York. Like, everything gets stolen.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah.
So, yes. Cars, bikes, yes. Just everything. It was the 70s and the 80s. It was a different time in New York. A lot of lawlessness. So, yes, I definitely did. Let me give you my Golden Tate issues. Right now, starting over him are Mike Evans and Amari Cooper, and in the flex is Ted Ginn. I also have DeSean Jackson and guys like Devontae Booker and Rob Kelly and others that I could start there. So I think I have so many options, I'm just not going to deal with Tate.
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one. Ted Ginn, I think, has to start. He's been playing pretty well. They're in that dome.
I'm in there right now.
Yeah, I like starting. Even DeSean Jackson, I wouldn't mind starting. So, yeah, you do have good job options there. Like that's an easy decision for you to sit Tate. Like I said, this is not saying that Tate's not a good play. What we're saying here is that Tate is risk.
Yes.
You don't have to live with that risk. You know, if Tate was completely healthy, yes, Tate would go. I like Tate. In PPR league, he's gold. But in this case, with the shoulder injury, and I think you put it perfectly earlier, this is a little bit of a surprise. He's playing. We thought it was going to be a multiple week injury. Now he's back. So it seems like maybe rushing him a little bit here, and so I want to mitigate my risk a little bit. In Mike's case, I think it's perfect. You can do that.
In Dynasty League, I also have Golden Tate. I have him in the lineup right now. I could take him out in favor of, like, Dontrell Inman, who just got traded to the Bears, or Kendall Wright, who's also on the – I now have two Bears wide receivers, and they throw the ball seven times a game. Not really
that
what I'm looking for,
well,
George.
For
yeah, it's not really what I'm looking for in this Dynasty League. So I actually have to play Tate because I didn't play Ben Watson, who would have sort of saved me with a touchdown. But, like, what did he really get me? Two catches and 2 yards for a touchdown? Like, it's fine. I'll play Tate. The only thing I have to be mindful of is that I don't take a zero, which I won't
my brother,
do. Go ahead.
My brother picked up Watson out of nowhere and started him this week. And he didn't need a tight end. What the hell did he know?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's strange. I thought that move was weird when he made it. And then I understand Miami's had issues covering tight ends, but I thought that was extremely surprising. I don't know. Maybe my brother was a little better at this than I thought. As for your Inman Wright thing, once again, easy decision here. You're starting. This is the one time where I'll risk Tate. What the hell are you going to get out of Inman and Wright?
The only
I wouldn't
thing
start
I can
Inman
do.
And Wright combined over Tate.
I wouldn't either. And I'm not, but the only thing I can do is if Tate doesn't go, I can throw Jamal Charles in to hope I don't get a zero on Monday night. It's going to be close to a zero, but it won't be a zero. So I technically have a backup plan there, but it's not much of one. And the last thing, I own Golden Tate everywhere because I love Golden Tate as a player in all these PPR leagues. And the other one is the Scott Fishbowl League. I'm leaving Tate out in favor of Aguilar, Amendola, Baldwin, Hilton, DeSean Jackson.
Yeah, once again, easy choice there. Yeah.
No,
I think you have for you're fine there. Listen, the Scott Fishbowl League, I was 6-0, lost Aaron Rodgers, and of course lost this week. And this week was always going to be a lost week because I banked on Green Bay. I have Rodgers, I have Jordy Nelson, I have Devontae Adams, Leonard Fournette. So I'm going to get bum crushed this week like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah. The Scott Fishbowl, to anybody that's not familiar with what we're talking about, it's an industry league. It contains 720 players, and it is a unique scoring league. There's no kickers. There's no defense. You get points for first downs and not for receptions. So of the 720, it's more of a point scoring league than anything else. Yeah, you want to win the head-to-heads, but the points are sort of more important as you get towards the playoffs. I'm in 62nd place right now in that league. So I've done pretty well, but a long way to go. We're only halfway through the season.
Yeah, I said my team, I had high hopes for that league. It was so well. At one point, I think I was a top 30 team, but Aaron Rodgers is gone. So as you mentioned, it's more points of points currently. It's more important, and it's also a super flex league. So losing Aaron Rodgers is a huge blow for me. Now my quarterbacks are Tyrod Taylor and Josh McCown. My season is going down the tubes very quickly in the Scott Fishbowl League.
Yeah, you're done. Sorry. So Cowboys at Washington. We'll do that game.
Thanks, Mike.
Look, there's nothing else to talk about. You're done. So it's a 51 total here. I believe it is the largest on the slate. Yes, it is. 51 total. Cowboys at Washington. Last hurrah, potentially, for Zeke Elliott owners with a hearing on Monday, I believe. And Washington, one-point favorite. Washington, one-point favorite.
Washington's beat up to hell, right? I mean, they got so many injuries there. You mentioned earlier Josh Norman likely to play here. Not a surprise. He was always scheduled to come back for the Dallas game. Whether or not he can make it through the game, we'll find out. But they need him. They lost. They keep losing guys. Mason Foster's out on the IR. They have other injuries. They're banged up. The offensive line's banged up. When you think of Washington, it's all about the receivers. Who are you trusting, Mike? Terrell Pryor, extremely disappointing. Probably my most disappointing player of the season. Jameson Crowder is right there with him. I expect the bigger things from him. Josh Oxford, is he now the number one guy fantasy-wise that we want to start out of these three? Yikes.
I don't. You know what's odd is that Cousins, though, is still good.
Yes, because he's spreading the ball around. He's still finding the open guy.
Yeah.
But not what we expected here.
No. And Chris Thompson, obviously, I mean, Chris Thompson, one of the biggest surprises in fantasy football this year, I would say. And he's been a big part of Cousins' success. But that is the crazy part. People had high hopes for all kinds of receivers, plus Jordan Reed. And instead, he's targeting 10 different players a game. And he's putting up numbers, but we can't get any kind of consistent statistics from anybody else. Just to give you a sense of what their receiving core looks like. Jordan Reed does lead the team with 26 catches. I mean, keep in mind, he played in only five games. You got Chris Thompson is second with 23 catches. Jameson Crowder, 19 catches. Terrell Pryor, 18 catches. Ryan Grant, 16 catches. Vernon Davis, 15 catches. And then a bunch of other guys as well. Josh Doxson, 7, and so on and so forth. It's just a very confusing team. It's almost like when you're playing in those DFS contests and you pick the QB and don't stack them with anybody. That's one of those kinds of scenarios. It's Cousins all on his own. Maybe Chris Thompson.
Yeah, Thompson has come out with a toe injury last week as well, but he should be good to go tomorrow.
Zeke Elliott owners, you got it. I think he can still play Dez, but keep in mind that Jordan Reed is back and Prescott, you know, we still like him. So we'll come back. We'll talk more games after the break.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
We're back on the Roto Experts. Careening towards the top of the hour. We've got about 20 minutes left. I had a buddy of mine just ask me a DFS question. I would encourage anybody to go to dailyroto.com in order to get all the best DFS advice and tips and stuff like that. He's asking for tournament plays, and ironically, I'm looking over the Daily Roto notes. He like best wide receiver to kind of pay up for in tournaments, and Josh Doxson is a mention by the guys at Daily Roto. Nelson Agholor also has a great matchup against the 49ers slot corner Kawan Williams, who rates as one of the weak weakest corners on the slate, according to PFF. That's Pro Football Focus. Then there are big touchdown scoring wide receivers who have difficult price tags and inconsistent usage, but great matchups like Kelvin Benjamin and Alshon Jeffrey. So obviously, Daily Roto picking on the Niners, just like you suggested, George. I've been waiting for Alshon Jeffrey to pop out for like one of these huge games, and I've used him in DFS in recent weeks with mixed results, but I could see him having that kind of monster game and just eating the Niners lunch.
Yeah, we all keep waiting for it. I mean, he's had so many good matchups over and over again. Good matchup last on Monday night versus Washington. Didn't see it. I mean, it's also because Wentz spreads the ball around. Now, Ertz is the only guy you know is going to get fed there. He goes, all right, go throw Ertz, Jeffrey, Torrey Smith, and Nelson Aguilar, you mentioned. I mean, Wentz is going to spread the ball around, which makes him such a very good NFL quarterback right now, is that he knows that offense forwards and back right now, because so good for him. So I'm not as high on you about Jeffrey, and I never have been. Once again, I've said it along. Even years ago, as soon as Brandon Marshall left Chicago, I always get worried about, he's going to be the number one now. But that changed things, because you're also the focus of the defense. You're also up against the number one cornerback week in and week out. It's sort of what we're seeing this year from Michael Thomas. Same thing.
Yeah, plus you have the added issue here with Jeffrey changing teams. I say this a lot, George. We've talked about it on this show. Wide receivers changing teams, there's not – just because the guy's talented, gets paid a bunch of money, and he is conceivably a number one wide receiver, despite what you just said, there's not always a smooth transition to the new team. Do you know what I mean? There's a new playbook to learn, especially guys on a one-year deal. He might be looking somewhere else in next season. These wide receivers that move from Team A to Team B, there's not always a lot of production in Team B, even if the guy was a high-profile signing. It just isn't as easy a transition as some people want it to be, even if the players are talented. Now, you've gotten guys like Brandon Marshall that have gone to different places and produced. I'm not suggesting that you don't ever see this kind of production, but Washington's dealing with it right now with Terrell Pryor. Maybe he's not the number one, but he's not doing anything. Now, Sean Jeffrey, as you said, he's struggling as well, or at least struggling to put up big fantasy numbers. But I could see the Aguilar-Jeffrey thing playing a role here. So if you want to pay up, that's a little bit different. But just keep in mind, Niners can get picked on. So we'll keep going through the games here. George, Falcons-Jets. Falcons are a perplexing team. Super Bowl hangover, new offensive coordinator. They have not played well this season. Despite the fact that they have a few wins, they really just haven't played well. And I think maybe there'll be a soft landing here against the Jets. But your thoughts really here about Julio being able to take advantage of them or Devontae Freeman. I think this is a Devontae Freeman kind of week, but give me your thoughts.
They're one of the more perplexing teams this season, right? Matt Ryan's gone back to the player he was 2 years ago, not the MVP he was last season. And we really don't know why. I mean, it was pretty much a stinker Sunday night in New England. I understand the fog was there, but that shouldn't have bothered the players all them up that much. It was against a team that New England's been pretty much, hey, every quarterback gets 300 yards against us, but not you. Frustrating for probably the fourth quarterback taken overall in almost fantasy leagues. Now you're thinking week in, week out, maybe I shouldn't start him. I'm still starting him tomorrow against the Jets, but right now he's over to prove it to me. Do something, anything. I guess the good news is Julio Jones caught a touchdown pass, right? We hadn't seen that all year. I agree with you about Freeman. He's the one guy that I expect to get a boatload of the touches tomorrow.
Yeah, Josh McCown obviously been putting up yardage there in a surprising manner. We mentioned the Jermaine Kearse thing earlier. It's a little bit of a guessing game between him and Robbie Anderson, but I think he'd go with that. That running back, that backfield is pretty muddled now between Powell and Forte and McGuire. So I've been avoiding it all year. For the most part, I've had to start McGuire when I got hit hard with the byes, and that won't happen again. So moving on to the next game, because we're a little short on time as far as getting through all the games. But let's go to Chargers Pats. We talked about Melvin Gordon earlier. He's been gutting it out, nursing an injury, but no Dante Hightower. The workload has been great for Gordon owners. Give me your thoughts here on Chargers Pats and the Chargers bouncing back from an 0-4 season. Here they are at 3-4.
Yeah, really, a couple of breaks, better kicking mainly, and they could easily be 5-2. Wouldn't shock anybody here.
Vegas loved the Chargers, by the way, going into the year. Vegas really liked the Chargers this year because they lost so many close games last year. Started off the same way this year, and here they are at 3-4.
Yeah, except they had a kicker. I mean, that first game, week one against Denver goes into overtime. Who knows what happens there? And the other game, they would have won against Miami, and he missed a couple of kicks. I mean, like I said, just a bad luck for the Chargers there. It's a tough game tomorrow. Listen, New England has their issues, especially on defense there. No Dante Hightower. He's done. So it should be a high-scoring game here. You're starting Gordon. You're starting Keenan Allen. I'm starting Hunter Henry. He's back in my good graces here finally. Listen, San Diego, is there any little correlation here? Well, we start using Hunter Henry as the number one tight end. We start winning games. Funny how that works when you let the best player play. So, he's back to being a must-start tight end for me. My question will come down to, once again, Tyrell Williams is early. I want to start him in this game against that secondary, but I understand you might have other options on your roster. For New England, I don't know if they can protect Brady for long against this Chargers front four. This Chargers front four can get at the quarterback, and Joey Bosa can get at him up the middle. And that's what Brady doesn't like. Well, no quarterback likes that because there's nowhere to go. So we can't step up. So I wonder if that's going to lead to a lot of short throws here to someone like Danny Amendola, to the running backs, James White and Deion Lewis. I might look for that tomorrow here. The problem with New England is going to be guessing which back, Lewis or White. Mike, tomorrow I'm leaning Lewis.
If I have to do an either or, that's a brutal decision to have to make. I just always think that James White is the safest of the group because I know he's going to throw the ball a bunch. But, you know, Gillis Lee is sort of out now. And then I think you can use – hopefully you don't have to make that decision. I would prefer James White because I think he's safer. But Deion Lewis, I think, is a play for a lot of people tomorrow. A flex play for a lot of people. To your point about Amendola, I'm starting Amendola in the two leagues where I have him. One, I'm my hands are tied. I have to start him because I have Devonta Adams and Sterling Shepard on bye, so I have him paired with Jarvis Landry. He didn't do anything, and then Sterling and then Michael Thomas. And in the other league, I went over it earlier. That Scott Fishbowl league. I'm playing him basically over Golden Tate because I don't want to deal with the Golden Tate stuff. Hopefully, he gets hit with some short throws. I'd like to see Amendola be productive again because honestly, I picked him up after week one. I picked him up in those leagues after Edelman went down. While people went crazy over Hogan, I just went the other way and went Amendola. But honestly, Amendola had the last couple of weeks have been frustrating where he's not really scored any points. So hopefully he bounces back in week eight before their bye in week nine, and then he gets completely healthy. He's obviously been a guy who's been banged up all year. So turn the page over to a new game, George. Raiders-Bills, which is kind of an interesting game. Obviously, Bills playing above their heads. Raiders, had the big Thursday night win 9 days ago, but this is going to be another big one for them to continue to stay in the mix for playoffs aspirations. 45-point over or under. Buffalo, a 3-point favorite at home.
Yeah, it should be an interesting game. The Raiders, can Cooper do it again? I'm not saying can he put up 40 fantasy points again. That's like unlikely to happen. But can he just be consistent and be a fantasy play week in and week out? You know, that big C, a game he had a couple Thursdays ago, not too many people started him. He was playing so poorly. So we want to see, has he turned his season around? So I'm curious to see that. Even in that big game, by the way, he still had a couple of drops. Tells you all you need to know about Cooper. Let's see, you're starting Cooper tomorrow. For the Raiders, it comes down to same thing, the running game. Lynch is out. He's suspended. Richard or DeAndre Washington? I think this is going to be a game flow question. Whichever one is playing well, plays. And that's the way I would run it if I'm the coach. I think that's the way most teams should run there when you don't have a top-notch running back. Whichever guy plays the best, that's the guy that plays. If you're asking me to start one, pick one, I'm leaning towards DeAndre Washington. He played better last time than Richard, but as I said, it's pretty much a coin flip here for me. And on the Buffalo side, it's pretty much Tyrod Taylor or bust as far as starters in the passing game there. I mean, LeSean McCoy, you're always starting there. I could see if you're desperate, maybe Nick O'Leary, good Irish boy, gets a tight end start there. Maybe Dante Thompson as a wide receiver, but you'd have to go pretty far down my list to start those two.
That's Jack Nicklaus's grandson. Did you know that? You're a golfer. Did you know that? Nick O'Leary's grandfather's Jack Nicklaus. Yeah. So in any event, a good Irish boy, but his grandfather's a heck of a golfer, obviously. news flash, Jack Nicklaus was a really good golfer. I like Jalen Richard a little bit more than Washington, only because I think he's slightly more versatile. But you're right. It's mostly a coin flip. Can I put a bow on the Amari Cooper stuff that happened with me? He factored into three games with me. I benched him in one league. It did cost me the league for that league. I played him in another league, and I lost. Because the decision that cost me is I played DeSean Jackson over Ted Ginn, and I was the second highest scoring team of the week. I played against the highest scoring team. In the league that I played against Amari Cooper, I won. It just goes to show you all the stuff and the hemming and the hawing over Cooper. Like, I couldn't have predicted that what I did would have come up with the outcomes that happened. Although, obviously, in the league that I benched him, I lost. It's my fault. Thanks, Marshawn Lynch. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the show after this. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
We're back. Closing out the show. Tried to get in as many games as possible, but, you know, these things happen. A lot of off-the-field. George and I were talking during the break. It's been a rough season for the NFL. A lot of off-field stuff. Big stuff, too. Not, like, minor stuff. Like, oh, the president thinks that about the players. And, oh, the owner thinks this about the players. And we have protests, and we have declining ratings, and we have sponsors. The sponsor threats are real, by the way. It always seems as like it's out in the ether. Well, what if they lose sponsorships? It appears Seth Wickersham and what's the other guy's name?
But that's the biggest issue, because sponsor equals
they did
money.
They did, yes, absolutely. And look, I support their right to express their freedom of speech and to do these peaceful protests. I support that right. You don't have to like it, which is absolutely your right to protest. You cannot watch the NFL. You can hate those guys for doing it, but it's their right to do it. And the NFL kind of took a, you know, let the team sort it out kind of stance. But we all knew this was going to happen at some point. If the sponsors are feeling heat, they were going to put a ton of heat on the NFL. And now that is definitely happening in some instances. So, you know, we'll see how it ultimately plays out. But, you know, the Texans are right smack in the middle of it now with the owner kind of putting his foot in his mouth. I think the apologies are just falling flat with some of the players just because of the terminology that he used. The fact that he misused the analogy and made it even harsher than it would otherwise be makes it that much worse. So I'll put a bow on that and just get some thoughts to you, George, on a survivor pool pick. Would like to hear who you think might be the team this week that is a guarantee. Man, I picked the Titans last week. Woo! Sweating it out against the Browns.
That was an ugly game, man. That was such an ugly. That game was just terrible. But I don't think this week's going to be the week I pick against the Browns. We made the joke last week. When in doubt, pick in Cleveland. I mean, I think Minnesota beats them, but it's in England, in London. That's not a game I'm going to love. So I'll stay away from there. Cincinnati over Indianapolis. I assume you have Cincinnati up in your pool. That would be very hard for me to pass up there because I think that's almost a lock there. Saints over the Bears, same thing. In that dome, I don't see them losing there. Philadelphia, you may have already used them. But these are old teams I like tomorrow that I think are going to win pretty easily. But that's it. It's those three games. So you take a Cincinnati. You know, what I said, Indianapolis was terrible. It sacked 10 times. I think Cincinnati will get after them fine. Philadelphia, we still have them left. New Orleans is an option there. And like I said, I wouldn't be afraid to take Minnesota if you have to go down that far. So there are plenty of options for survivors this week.
Yeah, those are everybody's going to load up on the Eagles and the Bengals. So I would probably, while I'm less confident in it, I would probably go with the Saints to just kind of avoid jumping on the bandwagon, same as everybody else, you know. I do like the Steelers against the Lions. I think they're a superior team, but we all know the Steelers have issues on the road. Hopefully you pick the Ravens. Jeez. You didn't sweat that bet for a minute.
Oh, come on. Who saw that happening?
Not me. I would have picked the Ravens, but, I mean, it set Thursday night. Finally, we started to turn Thursday night football around, it seemed, and it set it back like 2 years to where every game is going to be bad again. So that was bad. That was just bad football all the way around. So I appreciate all you listening. If you found us on iTunes Radio or on the Fantasy Sports Radio app or on iHeartRadio, we appreciate it. George and I are here every Saturday morning. And we'll be back on Sunday. I'll be doing the Sunday morning show. George will be doing the Sunday afternoon show. So join us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Good luck this weekend in all your games and all your lineup settings. We're out.